Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Beth Ann.
Well, here we are on a Monday, the first Monday in June, and looking at all the folks we're going to be talking today, perhaps our theme really is ideas that are subject to change.
Indeed, and what it takes to make an idea sink in. You know, how many times do we have to prove climate change?
Well, in some cases, maybe a lot, because some of those ideas may be changing too. Maybe not just in the way that you think. That's going to be our first conversation this morning. You know, for quite a while now, research on the Antarctic ice sheet had suggested it had been relatively stable since the last ice age. Now, a new international study published in the journal Nature says that the sheet probably started melting about 5,000 years earlier than originally thought. So, is this now a game changer when it comes to thought about climate change right now? UH Manoa Professor of Oceanography Axel Timmerman is a co-author of the study, and he's in our studio with us this morning. Nice to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Beth Ann. As always, a pleasure.
Looking at this study, people think, okay, 5,000 years. What does that really mean when we look at sea level rise and how rapidly that can happen? We think with what we've been told as we go into the future. But looking at the past, this seems like it's even more rapid than we thought.
So one of the main results of our study is actually that about 14,600 years ago, one of the major sea level rise events during the last glacial termination can actually be attributed to Antarctica at least by 50%. This sea level rise event, which was naturally induced, had an amplitude of about 4 meters per 100 years. So this is about 12 feet per 100 years, and we think that at least 50% of this can be attributed to an instability of the Antarctic ice sheet. And previously, the Antarctic ice sheet was always considered to be a slow responder to climate change. We have the first evidence really to document that it can respond very abruptly to a very gradual change in the temperatures and CO2 concentrations back then.
So, Axel, what happened after, here we have all this time that we thought, well, this is kind of boring. It's slow. It's stable. Yes, it's melting, but this is the way it's happening. And then you're able to come along now and to do a study that says, you know, that's all wrong.
So I think you mentioned game changer as a paradigm shift that is happening right now with respect to considering Antarctica as a major contributor to sea level rise. And in fact, I just came back from a conference in Vienna where several of my colleagues presented the first new modeling results that document that Antarctica could melt quickly, disintegrate very rapidly in the next 100 years, leading to sea level rise contributions in the order of 12 feet in 100 years.
12 so feet? That's far greater than what we talked about before when we were talking about maybe 4, 6 feet.
Right. So 4 feet is something that the IPCC upper benchmark basically is. We are looking at new instability mechanisms for Antarctica right now, and our study actually gives some clues as to what these instability mechanisms were in the past. And these new instability mechanisms really document that there is more in store in terms of sea level rise. Where the probabilities for these extreme sea level scenarios, of course, have to be further quantified. And that's basically ongoing research currently worldwide.
So how would you characterize those instability mechanisms?
So one mechanism that we also identified in our study is basically if you have a melting of Antarctica, icebergs floating around and eventually melting, they dump large amounts of fresh water into the Southern Ocean. And that changes the ocean circulation. The ocean circulation eventually changes in such a way that more heat, more warm water is actually brought towards Antarctica. And you have to consider the Antarctic ice sheet basically as bathing in this water. And suddenly you're cranking up the temperature of this water and the Antarctic ice sheet will melt more. So you have a positive feedback. And this melting freshwater flux into the ocean will change the ocean circulation. So we're basically talking about a runaway feedback here. And this runaway feedback was not considered part of the IPCC sea level rise scenarios because it requires the coupling between the ocean and the ice sheet.
Why wasn't that considered?
So because...
But we've been watching the calving of all of these glaciers for such a long time.
Right. So there is a natural calving flux. Of course, the Antarctic ice sheet is always shedding off some mass because it's accumulating over a large area. Even to keep it stable, you have to have constant fluxes of icebergs away. But the studies of the IPCC that the IPCC included, these were all peer-reviewed publications. They were not having the modeling capabilities to really incorporate these processes. So I think right now we are developing the first generation of coupled ice sheet ocean models that for the first time brings to the attention that there is a huge possibility for future sea level rise, extreme scenarios.
As this is being developed now, do you have any timeline on when you might see that integration complete, where we actually have a study that shows us a little bit better than what we've been able to see in past?
I think over the next 3 to 5 years, we will get a better confidence also on these extreme sea level scenario cases. And it is really one of the major international efforts, climate modeling efforts, going on right now. It's the hot subject right now in the climate community.
So bring this home here to all of us, because we've talked for a long time about what would happen if we had sea level rise, what would happen to Waikiki, what about planning for Kaka'ako, other places around Hawaii where there's development around the coast.
So I think any professional planning should include a worst case scenario. And we are considering, of course, we have hurricane insurers, we have tsunami warning centers. We always think about the worst case. And this is something that also urban planners should have in mind. What are these worst case scenarios for sea level rise? And what's the probability, and what would be the damage if these scenarios really became true? So basically, the product between probability and damage is the risk. So this risk needs to be properly quantified in order to make informed decisions. And there, I think the scientists, also at the UH, sea level experts, world-renowned sea level experts, they could really engage in much more informed discussions with city planners to come up with, let's say, good risk assessments. And that's basically what we want to have.
Well, the way you've sort of positioned that, I would infer that perhaps this hasn't been going on.
Well, maybe it has been going on. I have not been involved in this. But,
okay, so nobody's called you and said, let me talk to you about your new research.
That's correct. And I know, of course, that one of my colleagues, Chip Fletcher, from SOAS, he has been very active, of course, in informing the public about the effects of sea level rise on coastal erosion and things like this. But there is more. I mean, UH has sea level experts that deal with coastal processes, large-scale processes, but also with Antarctic and ice sheet instabilities. So it's an enormous resource that policymakers and city planners could basically tap into to really figure out what's at stake here.
Which means they're going to be watching some of your newer research as it happens in the next 3 to 5 years, but you'd like to have a conversation hopefully before then.
That would be very nice indeed.
Axel Timmermann, thank you so much for coming back. We'll look forward to talking to you in future as well. Axel Timmermann is a UH Manoa Professor of Oceanography and the leader of the UH Manoa International Pacific Research Center's Paleoclimate Research Unit. He's the co-author of the Antarctic Ice Sheet Study.